This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Rays Radio Network.
A 1-2 pitch. He popped him up into left field. It is playable. A Rosarena to his left. And for the fourth consecutive year, the Rays will return to the postseason as they've done every year since 2019.
Welcome to Countdown to Opening Day.
Get a deep breath for Jason as he comes set. Now the pitch. Swing and a ground ball to short. Wander has it, goes to the bag out, throws to first, double play! It's a double play! And Jason Adam comes in with a bases loaded, nobody out situation, and keeps it a scoreless game.
Coming up, we sit down with Rays players, coaches, and front office executives to discuss the latest news in Rays baseball. Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Opening day program of spring training, because we're 4 days from opening day when the Rays will meet the same team they're taking on today, the Detroit Tigers. The difference, instead of being in Lakeland at Joker Marchant Stadium, will be at Tropicana Field when it'll be Shane McClanahan and Eduardo Rodriguez. Instead, we're not going to see probably very many, if any, pitchers who will be on either opening day roster today, maybe barring one or two tops. But we will see a lot of the regulars get some at-bats, and we'll have that with Andy at the top of the hour. There is some news to bring to you, too, regarding the Rays' potential opening day roster. Josh Fleming has been chosen for the fifth starter spot over Yandy Chirinos, which may have more to do with who the Rays are facing upcoming and how Fleming matches up, since he's a left-hander versus Chirinos a righty. And it also may speak to the spring trainings each of them had. They both did a nice job, said Kevin Cash earlier today. And both are probably going to play a role, as will Luis Patino, who was optioned yesterday. The Rays are down to 44 players in camp. And relatively speaking, it's been fairly injury-free. You've had Tyler Glasnow's oblique and the neck issue for Sean Armstrong. Nothing else that was concerning in terms of opening day IL stints. But yesterday, Wander Franco was scratched as the DH in the game against the Boston Red Sox because of some quad soreness. Today he did have an MRI, and we hope to know more probably after the game today as to whether it's anything more than just being precautionary. But that as we go, right now we know nothing more than he is not in the lineup today. As far as the lineup today on the program, later on you're going to hear from Kyle Snyder, who has done such a magnificent job as the Rays pitching coach. And really, that's been the backbone of the staff, has been run prevention. And in a moment, we'll hear from Jeffrey Springs. We remind you to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Rays baseball on opening day this Thursday at 3:10. Learn more about notable moments in Rays history. Purchase your tickets at RaysBaseball.com. As mentioned, Jeffrey Springs, certainly a big part of the big picture for the Rays going forward, signed that extension in the offseason, has been absolutely magnificent so far this spring, and I had a chance to sit down with him this week and asked him about his dominant spring and how he feels things have gone.
Pretty good. I think, you know, it started to build the volume, the up downs, and, you know, going, you know, 4 or 5 innings last time. Bodies responded well. I feel like my stuff's in a pretty good spot. Just continuing to try to build that volume of, you know, the pitch count to innings, and just kind of refining my stuff as much as possible as we get closer to the start here. But overall, you know, I'm pretty pleased with how I'm feeling and how things are going.
Is that the biggest thing, is just the endurance? Because last year was your first year as a starter in a long while.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's a big part of it, obviously preparing for, you know, even a bigger jump in the workload this year. But yeah, just kind of getting the stuff dialed in, and then, you know, getting the body ready to go every 5 days, and, you know, hopefully go, you know, as deep as possible, 95, 100 pitches, and, you know, make 30 plus starts is the goal. So just trying to prepare, you know, physically and mentally for that.
I know how motivated you are and how much work you put in, but is there some motivation to kind of show people, no, last year was not a fluke and this is how good I can be year in, year out?
I mean, if you want to put it that way, maybe a little bit, but it's all internally driven. I mean, you know, I'm, like you said, I feel like I'm a pretty motivated person, you know, day in and day out. And just, you know, if you want to say proving it to others, I don't necessarily view it like that, but it's more to myself. Like I said, I hold myself to a certain standard, and, you know, I have expectations of myself. So it's more internal.
You also have guys around you who it's easy to motivate yourself every day. How much does it help to have Shane and Zach Eflin and Drew Rasmussen and so on with this group around you to work and push each other every day?
I mean, it's a big, you know, motivator for sure. Everybody on our pitching staff, you know, it's unbelievable arms, talent, and, you know, super motivated people, like you said. So it's, you know, that kind of friendly competition to continue to push each other for the better, you know, the – you know, if Shane or Drew or F or whoever goes out and goes 6 or 7 shutout innings, then it's like, you know, I want to go 8 inning shutout. It's just kind of not to one-up them, but it's just that competition, like you said. It's you want to be, you know, you don't want to be the weak link in the armor, and we have such talented guys that you just want to do your part. You know, I want to do my job every 5 days because I know they're going to do theirs. Everybody in our staff super professional, and you know they're going to show up and put in the work and, you know, get the results. So I don't want to be the guy that's, you know, kind of bringing us down, so to speak. But, yeah, I mean, you got guys that we have on the staff that are unbelievably talented, good people, and super motivated. You couldn't ask for better teammates.
How close have you become as a group? Because I see you watching one another's bullpens, sides, outings, live BPs early in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, super close. I mean, you feel like, you know, we've been together a couple years now. I've been here since 21, and, you know, you add somebody like Eflin, and it feels like it's somebody you've known forever. It seems like everybody that comes here, you know, good people, super talented, and, you know, want to win. And that's the big thing is, you know, we're constantly pulling for each other, constantly trying to help each other, you know, be as good as we possibly can, because ultimately all we want to do is win. And, you know, that's the big thing.
And you've got support around you, obviously, beginning with your pitching coach, Kyle Snyder. What has he meant to you and your growth?
I mean, honestly, I, you know, completely changed my career for the better. You know, from the little tinkerings to just, you know, the mental side of it to everything. It's, you know, I felt like I was doing, you know, okay in the big leagues, but that was it. It was just okay. I had some, you know, good stretches. I had some really bad stretches, but it was very inconsistent. And this, you know, the relationships we built, the conversations we have in between innings, in between starts, he's definitely, you know, has turned my career around, and I give him a ton of credit.
Well, you obviously have put the work in and have trusted him. Your fastball changeup combination is where it starts, but you've worked on your breaking ball this year. What are you trying to do with it, and how do you think it will help?
I think adding more of a sweeper to left-handers especially is going to help. Just not try to be so perfect to left-handers. I feel like I kind of get handcuffed in the past trying to, you know, throw, you know, the bullet spin slider down into a certain spot, and then the heater's up. And big league hitters are good enough to where they're just going to eliminate one of those, and then when they get their pitch, they're not going to miss it. So I think just adding, you know, throwing everything to left-handers is a big start, not eliminating the changeup, which, like you said, is one of my better pitches, I feel like. But just hopefully will, you know, help. They have to respect, you know, both sides of the plate, you know, two different breaking balls, the changeup and the four seam, and it's just covering more quadrants and, you know, hopefully give me a little bit of an advantage to where they can't just eliminate one side or one pitch.
That pitch obviously can help you a great deal, but I always think one of your greatest strengths is just the way you read hitters. Where did you learn to do that, and how helpful is it to you, do you think, in terms of your growth and your maturation?
I think probably back in 2017, that was the last time I've started. We had to sit in the stands and kind of jot down notes on the opposing team, you know, hitters, tendencies, and they kind of gave you a generalized, like, hey, you know, dead pull, or, you know, the stereotypes of hitters. But just sitting back and watching, how would I pitch this guy? You know, I know the guy out there, I know how he pitches, but I also know how I pitch, and kind of playing that game in my head as I was sitting in the stands through high A. And then once I actually realized what I did well, you know, why the fastball plays up, why, you know, why I can get swing and misses there, why the changeup's so good, it took for me to truly understand what I do well, you know, where I can go to get strikes, where I can try to go to get swing and misses, and get back in the count and things like that, which I feel like I'm still learning. But, you know, 21 was probably the first time that I actually truly understood myself, if that makes sense. And it's okay, I know my strengths, I know what I want to do. Now it's, you know, I kind of have a feeling, you know, I can read the swings, I understand what the hitters are trying to do, It's just that back and forth game of, you know, again, it falls back on, I know how I'm trying to get you out. What are you trying to do? What adjustments are you making? And it's just kind of that volley back and forth between those two things.
It's certainly fun to watch. You know, we mentioned earlier how motivated you are. How much has being a dad changed you and also helped you?
Changed me night and day, I feel like. You know, I know my wife can attest to that. I took how I did very personal. I took it home with me, and I kind of hated the way that I was off the field because it was so results driven. But you know, when Stetson was born, it was, you see him after the game and things like that, it kind of, it makes you leave it at the field. Baseball is kind of irrelevant once the game's over, and once, you know, once we step out of here, it's there, you know, it's what we do, it's not who we are. You know, I truly believe that, but you know, I want to set an example for him. I want to be a certain person on the field, a certain person off the field. I want to carry my way self, you know, even better, because, you know, I hope he's, you know, someone that I can be. He's proud of who I am as a player and as a dad and everything. So definitely changed me for the better.
And how life-changing, I know it's still a ways, but the contract you signed this offseason, what has it meant to you and your family? I know it won't change who you are on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge, you know, commitment from the Rays, and when they first brought it up, whether we got something done or not, just being in that position to have a team reach out and want to discuss that was kind of very, you know, surreal moment for me. Just, you know, from my path and journey, everything was year to year, you know, trying to make the team every year, trying to, you know, be in the big leagues every year, and that was as far as I looked. You know, it was trying to make the team the next year when the season was over. But just having that financial stability, the trust from the team to, you know, by 4 years is unbelievable. You know, me and my family are so grateful. But you know, this is a special place. We love being here, love everybody from the top down, and really truly love the organization, and was super excited to be able to sign, you know, for here more years.
And as you look forward this season, this is a good year for Jeffrey Springs and the Rays if
everybody, you know, stays healthy. And you know, I think we have a very special group. I mean, you're seeing the offense come to life. You see the guys in the WBC that, you know, it looks like they're in midseason form already. The pitching staff, I feel like, you know, unbelievable arms from, you know, starters down to relievers to guys that are, you know, going to AAA. You know, guys that should be in the big leagues probably anywhere else. But I think we show up and do what we're supposed to do and take care of business. And if, we can stay healthy, relatively healthy most of the year, I think it's going to be pretty special.
And let's hope that is the case. Jeffrey Springs, certainly a big part of the Rays and needs to be able to stay healthy for the Rays to be able to accomplish some pretty special things during the course of this season. Hey, single game tickets for Rays spring training presented by Visit Tampa Bay are on sale now. To see the whole schedule and purchase your seats, go to RaysBaseball.com/spring. Coming up on the program, we're going to hear from Rays pitching coach Kyle Snyder. Obviously, he's been a tremendous mentor to Jeffrey Springs. We continue from Lakeland, Florida. This is Countdown to Opening Day on 95.3 WDAE and the Rays Baseball Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sign up your little slugger for the Race Rookies Kids Club for only $40. The MVP membership includes a free kids meal at every home game and discounts on tickets. Join today, racebaseball.com/racerookies. Neil Solon's with you. This is our final Countdown to Opening Day show of the spring, with the Rays in 4 days taking on the same Detroit Tigers. We did have another roster move. We'll get to that as we go. But right now, time to hear from the Rays pitching coach Kyle Snyder. And I asked Kyle how he feels this spring is gone.
I feel really good. I mean, it's been a long spring. You know, we've gone about it a little bit differently, aside from the fact that we've been in different places, you know, since the start of camp. But, you know, just trying to, you know, kind of dial each guy in, almost on their kind of own individual plan. But definitely feel good about where everybody is right now, with a week away.
Where do you feel best about the pitching staff?
I mean, as a group, for sure, but certainly, you know, there's been a few guys in the rotation that have stood out, you know, Drew and you know, Jeffrey, and obviously Shane, you know, Eflin just getting built up, and obviously just the talent that we know that we have there. And then, you know, with Glass probably being about a month behind schedule, just kind of given the fact that he had the injury to the oblique early in spring training. But it's been nice to see some of the guys that we've had come into camp. You know, Kevin Kelly's done a nice job as a Rule 5 draft pick for us for the first time in my tenure here in this role. And, you know, it's been fun to watch him go out and compete and certainly get comfortable the last couple of times out. But, you know, the guys in the back end of the bullpen have done well, and, you know, they're going to get closer to back-to-backs here.
From your standpoint, what are the things that – more so, what are the greater concerns – as we close in on the start of the regular season?
I think just their bounce back. It's the physical nature of what we're about to, you know, embark on and what they're going to ask their bodies to do, right, over the next 6 or 7 months. You know, that's the main purpose of spring training. Outside of some of the things that you can do to kind of fine-tune the arsenal, you know, change some, you know, pitch distribution, and obviously just the count control, which we always talk quite a bit about, you know, just making sure that these guys are in the zone as often as they can be before two strikes, maintain their unpredictability, and let their stuff play after that.
You touched on Tyler Glasnow's injury. It appears there's depth to handle that for the time being. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think we're in a great place. You know, I mean, you got the likes of Luis Patino, Yanni Chirinos, Josh Fleming. Any of those names in the month of April that are going to certainly be able to come up and provide us a quality outing and give us a chance to win. And I know that's coming down here as well, you know, as well as another spot or two in the bullpen in terms of what's being competed for. But we're definitely in a very good place, you know, regarding our depth and our ability to withstand, you know, the month plus that, you know, we might be without Tyler.
From that end, you're also missing a guy in Sean Armstrong, who I don't think people realized what value he brought to your group down the stretch last year. How do you fill that void, and how do you feel about the guys you have to help fill that?
That's a good point, you know. And yeah, he definitely, you know, he was a guy that could, you know, that could pitch leverage in an inning and give us a third up when necessary. I recall just the job he did coming in Miami and the start that we had to scratch for Shane. And just a lot of things that, you know, he just goes out and competes, takes the ball, you know, but, you know, in terms of taking his place and some of the versatility that he provided in the bullpen, you know, you look at the likes of Calvin Fauché, who's capable of multiple innings, and he'll get there a couple of times before the start of camp. Kevin Kelly's been up a third time a couple of times last year. In his stint in Double A with Cleveland, you know, and we got a couple of other guys like Jalen Beeks who will be built out to six outs. You know, Kleffinger will also be a guy that'll, you know, be able to wrap around as well. So, you know, you have the likes of those, you know, options in the bullpen that are relatively neutral, and we'll do our best to make up for the fact that, you know, Sean's not going to be part of the club to start the season. And just hope that, you know, as things progress with his rehab, that, you know, he's back before too long.
Because from that end, you don't want to put too much on your starters that first month. You're building that important foundation going forward. So you need guys who are going to throw multiple innings at times.
We've always, you know, somewhat employed that idea in terms of the first month having multiple inning relievers available. Now this year being a little bit different in like the spring training, affording some of our starters an additional start. But still recognizing we're looking to compete for 7 months, you know, we're going to be mindful. There's no question. You know, Zach Eflin, you know, coming off of, you know, 280-inning campaigns, you know, with some knee injuries in there. You know, I'm not hitting the gas pedal too quickly with him, just making sure we're laying some proper foundation and he's getting acclimated to a new organization and making sure he's where he needs to be physically. So, but yeah, these are things that, you know, we're certainly going to be mindful of, you know, once we get through the month of April. We don't have a ton of off days in those first 2 months, and you know, we're going to need to be creative at times.
Yeah, which is very unusual. So you also, during this camp, got a chance to see a lot of non-roster guys who have the ability to help you. Who are some guys who you really have impressed you during the course of this spring training?
You know, I tell you what, Ben Heller is healthy for the first time in 4 years and has showed really impressive stuff. A little bit of an adjustment to the arsenal as well, throwing a two-seamer now, trying to throw a little bit of harder cutter, which he's been successful in doing. The likes of Heath Hembree and Kyle Crick and, you know, just their baseball life experiences combined. Both those guys have thrown the ball exceptionally well. And You know, even, you know, extending on from that, I mean, you got Zach Birdie, you got, you know, who's done a nice job in some of the small samples that he's been given. But, you know, we have definitely depth and insurance on the higher end for me in terms of where we've been in years past. And for an organization, like it or not, that has used, you know, 35 to 40 pitchers each of the last couple of years, these guys are definitely going to be potential key contributors for us at some point during the season.
Obviously, you hope you don't have to go through as much of that as past years, but one of the guys who is a core guy, and you touched it at the top, was Jeffrey Springs. He's on this program too. How has he grown from where he was at the end of last season and now in terms of his pitch mix? We've talked about his new breaking balls.
Yeah, so he's added a sweeping slider to his arsenal. You know, a breaking ball that's probably going to be primarily used against lefties, but occasionally to righties as well. He's in a really good place. You know, I mean, his other three pitches have picked right where he left off from last season. Obviously, the results somewhat speak for themselves in the games that he's pitched so far in spring training in front of the camera. But, you know, he went into the offseason. His focus was, you know, we were to add that fourth pitch and, you know, to see if we could refine some of the rest of the arsenal. He's done just that.
Is he have the best pitchability, true pitchability of the guys on your staff? And if not, who's ahead of him?
Well, Zach Eflin would probably be right there. I'd say him and Jeffrey are right there. Zach's probably got as good a command as any starting pitcher in baseball, you know, but, you know, pitchability covers a pretty broad spectrum, you know, but both of those guys I would definitely put into that category of, you know, elite feel, elite pitchability, and understand how to put their stuff to work really well.
Yeah, and I guess maybe what I'm talking about was more the ability to read swings and adjust off that during an at-bat, because he seems to see things and stay a step ahead.
Well, I think that's one thing that I guess somewhat gets lost. It is a bit of the art of what occurs, you know, on the mound and what these guys notice, you know, what their next attack plan may be. We talk about competing pitch for pitch and letting one pitch lead us to the next and what that means for each guy and their you know, complementary arsenal, you know. So, but, yeah, it's – well, you know, both those guys are very, very unique, very astute, understand – who they are and what the, you know, what they're convicted to move to next, but definitely a guy that's come a tremendous way in a very short period of time in terms of just, you know, he's a bona fide starter and probably arguably as good as, you know, any left-hander in our division.
And that is Kyle Snyder, the Rays pitching coach, as we're in Lakeland, Florida for the Rays and the Tigers. The same two teams will meet opening day. We'll wrap up our latest program and get you set for first pitch in just a moment. This is Countdown to Opening Day on 95.3 WDAE and AM 620.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Make a lasting impression on your party when you host your next group event at Tropicana Field. For more information, go to racebaseball.com/groups. Neil Solon's with you at Joker Marchant Stadium in Lakeland, Florida, where the Rays get set to take on the Tigers, the team they will meet in 4 days on opening day. Before we continue and wrap up this program, why don't we pause for station identification? This is the Rays Baseball Network.
WTAE St. Petersburg, W237 CW Pinellas Park, WBTP HD3 Clearwater, W224BE Brandon, and iHeart Radio Station.
A couple of housekeeping notes as we get things wrapped up and get you set for the Rays and Tigers. Rays down to 43 players in camp. Remember, they started at 81. Yanni Chirinos optioned to AAA Durham, with Josh Fleming winning the fifth starter spot. And Kyle Crick, who had a March 25th out clause, has exercised it. So the official transaction is he's been given his release. So the Rays still have 17 total moves, including four injured players to put on the injured list as part of the players that are currently in camp. And we wait on Wander Franco and see how things fare with his quad. Again, he was getting an MRI earlier today just to make sure there's nothing legitimately wrong there. We'll have something probably after the game or on the Twitterverse as well. Thanks today to Mark Hayes, our on-site engineer. Thanks to Derek Dubose back at our network studios, and our guests Jeffrey Springs and pitching coach Kyle Snyder. Next week, it will be This Week in Rays Baseball on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We get set for the Rays and Tigers. Thanks so much for being with us. You've been listening to Countdown to Opening Day on 95.3 WDAE and the Rays Baseball Network.
Thank you for listening to Countdown to Opening Day.
One ball, two strikes, the pitch. Swing and a line drive down the right field line to the corner. Gone!
If you missed any of the show, download it at RaysBaseball.com/radio.
That might be Randy Rosarena's biggest hit of the 2022 season.
Opening Day will be here before you know it.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and the Rays win.
For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.